Michigan Governor Rick Snyder made it official yesterday. He supports expanding the state's Medicaid program. He says covering more people is just a start.
This is about covering people. Now it's incumbent on us to cover them efficiently in terms of better care at a lower cost.
And the Federal Affordable Care Act offers to cover the costs of all the newly insured for 3 years. That's estimated to be close to a 500,000 Michigan residents. Proponents cite the savings to hospitals for no longer having to eat the emergency room costs of treating the poor who can't pay. Currently, those costs are passed along to the hospital's other paying customers. But unlike the governor, other Michigan Republicans are either wary or out-and-out opposed to Medicaid expansion. Among other concerns, they fear the federal government may renege on its offer to pay and that there may not be enough physicians to care for the newly insured population. Current State speaks with a proponent of Medicaid expansion. We welcome David Seaman of the Michigan Health and Hospital Association, along with State Senator Rick Jones. The senator says Michigan needs to improve mental health coverage, but says he is leery of Medicaid expansion. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you, Mark. Great to
Hello.
Be here.
Before we review this issue, I've got to hijack this right out of the chute, because it is, as WKAR reported this morning, the governor apparently will be calling for an increase in education funding in Michigan. Senator Jones, where do you stand on that?
I'm right on board. You know, I've been an advocate for not cutting K-12 and better funding for pre-K, because that's where we get the best bang for our buck. In the early childhood education, if we can get the children ready to go to school, they test out with a higher IQ. They're less likely to get into trouble, more likely to complete their education and get a good job.
Okay. And the percentages, you're okay with the percentage increase? Was it 2%, I heard?
I'll hear that officially today, that it's predicted to be 2%. I would like it to be more. I have been a strong advocate for taking the school aid fund and keeping it in K-12 and pre-K. You know, under a prior governor, it was moved out of the school aid fund, away from the K-12, to community colleges, then backed out of there legally and put into the general fund. I'm strongly opposed to that, and I have been opposed for 8 years.
Let's get back to Medicaid expansion, and let's review the basics here briefly, if we can. First, from an advocate's point of view, David Seaman, why is Medicaid expansion in Michigan a good idea?
Well, candidly, it's a really simple issue, and I think it is, Mark. It saves lives and saves dollars. The option under the Affordable Care Act is for a state to accept payments from the federal government to cover people that live below 138% of the federal poverty level. In the state of Michigan, that's estimated to be 470,000 individuals. And we're talking in large cases about working families, people that don't enjoy the benefit of having employer-sponsored health care. They contribute to our tax base, but they don't enjoy the fruits of their labor in terms of having health care benefits. This would allow the state to receive federal fund to pay 100% of their costs for 3 years, and 90% of the costs beyond that. This is a great social policy, and it's a very sound fiscal policy for the state of Michigan, and we should do it.
And are you willing to concede either any disadvantage to expansion or conversely, any advantage to not expanding?
The only argument that we hear that has any potential legitimacy behind it is, you know, experiences in the past where perhaps the federal government has found it hard to continue its support. But the governor has announced that we will save $200 million a year, and that is fairly well thought through. We'll save $200 million a year during these first 3 years, $100 million of which he would put aside in a lockbox to continue it. So the fear that the state would not have the general fund to continue this program after we drop down to 90% funding, the numbers are predicted that we would not spend any additional general fund in this state till 2035.
Senator Rick Jones, clarify where you're at right now. I know a lot of legislators are just kind of getting their head around this. The governor is just officially on the record. Where are you at in your decision-making process on this?
I haven't decided. I want to approach this with caution. I'm told that if we accept this money, the federal government will have total control. And in 3 years, we'll have to come up with $300 million, possibly in 10, a great deal of more. That's what I was told yesterday as when I inquired. We have another senator who has a group that's studying what if we developed our own plan. For $150 a month, we could provide a great deal of care for these folks. Now, let's remember, we called them families earlier, but we're talking adults. This is not children. This is single people and couples that don't have coverage currently. So that's what we're looking at. Now, what if we supported it ourselves? Could this be a more frugal way of doing it? And we could ask them to have a copay. It's a common term out there, skin in the game. Maybe we need to ask folks to pay a portion. It could start out very, very cheaply, perhaps $20 a month. But when people help pay for their care, they're more involved. They understand, you know, this is the way to put them back on their feet.
Dave Seaman, any response to that?
I guess my response would quickly be we have programs in this state that are actually considered to be quite affordable health care programs. The My Child program stands out. Families can insure their children for $10 a month. We have tens of thousands of Michigan children who are still uninsured because their families either can't or have chosen not to pay $10 a month to insure their children. So the idea of creating yet a different affordable program, I don't think so. I think our fear is we'll be stuck right where we are now, hospitals and other providers in the state shouldering the burden of $1 billion a year in hospitals alone of uncompensated care. This is an opportunity to change that and turn our position as a donor state into one where we get more of a fair share of our federal dollars. Because if we don't do this, remember, other states, including five other Republican governors, have accepted this program already. And if we don't take our money and take care of our families, what we'll find is those dollars will be used elsewhere.
Anything else you want to add there, Senator?
Well, I can tell you that I've studied that. I've talked with the working poor. Give you an example. I had a waitress tell me, my son was bit up by the neighbor's dog. The neighbor's dog had no insurance, and it cost me $800 at the hospital. I'm going to be paying that on time. And I said, well, your income level can't be great. You're a single mom. You have three children. Why haven't you signed up for Medicaid? Well, I don't feel like it. You know, I don't know how you help people that don't feel like getting coverage. The coverage is there. She could easily pay the $10. We need people to take responsibility to help them. Let's give them a hand up, not a hand out.
Anything to what Senator Jones is saying there? Or would we just rehash what we've already put on the table here, Dave Seaman?
We might. I mean, obviously people come at this from very different political perspectives and certainly from personal responsibility. We share the senator's perception. Yes, we do have to have greater personal responsibility. Again, as we look at this is a program that will instantly save lives and save dollars.
The biggest concern I've read about, and you acknowledge this in your opening answer, David Seaman, is that the federal government may have to renege on its funding in a few years. Why you regard that as a legitimate concern?
I don't know if I regard it as a legitimate concern. It's a stated concern. Obviously, we have seen programs where there's been...
Why isn't it a legitimate concern?
I think that, you know, obviously the Affordable Care Act, as long as this remains the law of the land, Congress will be moving forward trying to maintain services. And again, I think all believe that once you have a program in place and the take-up rate is high, we will save money. The reality is we believe over the long term, over those first 3 years, we'll have people getting the right care at the right time. We'll start to save money. The cost of health care will go down when people get the right care at the right time. What is not happening now? People aren't getting screenings. They're not getting immunizations. They're not seeing primary care physicians. They're becoming ill. When they show up acutely ill in a hospital emergency room where monies are spent very quickly. If we can start to get people receiving the right care at the right time, we will begin to save monies that will be available later on to continue coverage.
Any response, Senator Jones?
Well, it is a legitimate concern that the federal government will renege. The federal government changes constantly. We were using a certain type of tax here in Michigan to capture money to help pay for Medicaid. 4 years later, the federal government said, sorry, you can't use that kind of tax. You've got to change. So we constantly have this evolving federal government, and we never know where they're going to be at. So I want to make sure everybody understands I support more care. I am very much want to see better mental health. I don't think we have a good mental health provision here. I want to see more. And so I think we're in agreement on much of this. I'm just urging caution. Let's do it right.
We're talking with David Seaman of the Michigan Hospital Health and Hospital Association, the executive vice president of that group and an advocate of expanding Medicare, and Senator Rick Jones, who is on the fence right now and taking some time to explore what this means. Rick Jones has Governor Snyder's official on-the-record support of Medicaid expansion. Impacted your decision-making process in any way?
Well, certainly when the governor of the state says this is the direction I want to go, I think there's going to be a lot more support. But again, I think the senators I've talked to say let's use caution and make sure we do this right.
Another common concern, Dave Seaman, is the supply of physicians. But I guess studies that you believe are quite credible claim the system can absorb all these new patients, correct?
There was a study that recently came out from the Center for Healthcare Transformation that says, yes, the studies they've done have indicated that services are available. I mean, primary practitioners are available. People don't get care when there's no coverage. It is very hard to find a primary care physician who can afford to take charity services on. They're already providing a fair amount of that. Most people that do have coverage do find their way through, and at least they find their way through federally qualified health centers for primary care clinics and the like, and they obviously also have outreach through community hospital programs.
Senator Jones, what about your fellow House Republicans? How many of them do you think will side with the governor, and how many, you alluded earlier to some other legislation that belongs to Senator Bruce Caswell, correct?
Correct.
Okay, Hillsdale County. How many do you think will side with the governor? How many are following the lead of Senator Caswell in openly opposing this?
You know, I haven't heard of anybody openly opposing, but there are a lot of...
Senator Caswell openly opposes it, doesn't he?
Well, not really. He wants to come up with an alternative plan.
Oh, okay.
So he's not saying don't cover these adults. Find a way to do it frugally. Get the best dollar, you know, the best bang for the buck. How can I predict where the House Republicans are going to be? I can tell you from the ones I've heard that they want to study it. They're willing to study the plan. They're not saying no automatically.
Okay. Dave Seaman, compliance and the time and energy and cost assigned to compliance must be some kind of an issue for your members.
Yeah, it always has been, yeah. And always will be.
I read this morning the Obama administration itself estimates 127 million hours a year will be spent on compliance by families and health care providers. That's without any further rules or regulations. And for all I know, Americans spend that many hours addressing hangnails. I really have no context for assessing that number. I don't know what it means. Can you help our listeners put that number into some kind of earthly context here? 127 million hours, but it's a national act. I don't know if that's right. If that's just really burdensome level of compliance, or if it's actually reasonable.
We have an incredible burdensome compliance on from every payer, whether it be a commercial payer, Medicare, state Medicaid. Compliance has always been a complicated fact in this country. Obviously, it's an issue of balancing safety against and fraud and all of those other things that people are trying to protect against. It's very difficult to determine, and I don't know where they come up with numbers of that nature. It is a high compliance industry, and it's because people want to be safe and they want to make sure that the services they receive are fair and of a quality level.
I wish we had more time. We're already out of time. We could go for a while further. We want to thank Senator Rick Jones for coming in this morning, and Executive Vice President of the Michigan Health and Hospital Association, David Seaman. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mark.